So Windsor, what was it like? I was watching, as everybody was watching, busy. It was busy. I think everyone's reacted in different ways to the whole thing, haven't they? But I mean, what a huge occasion. And the focus on your hometown.
Yeah, it became it, didn't it? Once everything was done in town and they had the ceremony at Westminster Abbey. So the morning of, I'm getting my days mixed up because the Monday felt like a Sunday. I don't know about that for you, but it felt like a Sunday, didn't it?
Yeah.
But it was Monday. So The Monday morning, all the roads were closed and they had erected proper barriers. It wasn't just a couple of orange cones. They had erected all these proper barriers to stop people entering Windsor or coming anywhere near it. That was from early, early morning. So the start of the day, when I looked out the window, and we're, as you know, right in the centre, it felt a bit like lockdown because there were no cars. But it also felt like a bit of one of those, have you ever watched, I don't really watch them, but you know those zombie films, like end of the world movies when there's...
I mean, roughly, I've never sat through one.
No, I've never. It feels like I'm not a big fan of zombie films. But you know, you can imagine the scene when I looked out the boys' window, and I say, we're right in the centre, and you can go past our house to get to the long walk. And there were no cars, but there are all these people, quite sombre, kind of staring down at the floor, just walking, like in droves, sort of past our house. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't celebratory. It was just people just marching, staring down at the ground, headed towards the long walk. It just felt a bit like one of those sort of end of the world zombie films. Just people marching through the streets.
They did march for a long time, didn't they? Behind the coffin, the whole procession was much further. There, as I say, when we were talking last week, and I was saying how straight it is, it's just so much further than you think it is. It's a long way. It's a long old straight.
Well,
good effort to everybody involved in that.
Well, no, these people I was talking about in terms of the zombie thing was just the people coming to Windsor to get a place on the long walk because they had to park outside, a long way outside of Windsor, and then just walk in. So there were just loads and loads of people just coming into Windsor, and all the restaurants and bars had been told they couldn't have tables outside because of the amount of people that were coming in. And it was... We stayed in and watched the funeral. There were big screens on the long walk, but we watched it at home. And then when we saw the hearse leaving London, we then walked out to the long walk because it's near the boys' school. And we weren't going to get... I had a friend who went out at 6 in the morning and she had a front row seat, but she sat there for 9 hours. She sat there for 9 hours.
There was a lot of waiting, wasn't there?
But you can't do that with children. You can't...
No.
You know what I mean? Half an hour's good. You can't do that for 9 hours. So she'd gone and done that. So we walked and there was all these people walking towards the long walk. And then we went through security and we just stood. We sat the boys on our shoulders. So my back's not in the best of places since then because, you know, they're quite big at 7. And they got a really good view. But the thing is, because they had an amazing view of the long walk because they're on our shoulders, we gave them our phones and said, could you take a video or a picture? I mean, I've got pictures of people's shoes, of the grass, of the sky, of a couple of trees, of the helmet of one officer. I was like, what are you filming? And they're like, then they were filming themselves because they figured out the button, you know, that flips it back on themselves.
Yeah.
So I've got 2 minutes of them grinning into the camera going, yeah. I was like, okay. So
the life of a 7-year-old.
So in terms of my photographs of the procession in the day, I've had to go elsewhere. I got a couple of the crowds.
Watching at home, Windsor Castle, it is spectacular, isn't it?
Beautiful, isn't it?
It's absolutely spectacular. And I know that you're lucky enough to sort of run past it every morning, but it's, it is an amazing place. I've been there, I've been there with you, but been there a couple of times, but it just looked incredible. It looked like a film.
It does. They I mean, look, I run past the gates, but the views we were getting, we were going inside the castle. It's absolutely... We were speaking to someone who actually does plumbing for the Queen. And he was saying that, you know, within Windsor Castle, he said, you forget there's a cricket pitch, tennis court, swimming pool, and a 9-hole golf course all within. And you think it's all
standard
based.
Castle behaviour, though, isn't it? Really? If you've got a castle, I mean, what are you doing if you don't have a 9-hole golf course?
I mean, along with everything else. But it's, yeah, that they... I didn't realise, but they started planning for the funeral in 2005.
Wow.
I mean, that's pre-planning.
Yeah, and I think, I've heard that, like, people just rehearse all the time, don't they? You know, that our main news presenters, the ones that know that it's their job to deliver the news and that sort of, not just the news in general, they obviously are news readers, but they would be, that they've been allocated as in, if the Queen dies, that's your thing. You come in and you deliver it. So, yeah, but they were saying they'd been practicing it for years. I think plenty of people have been practicing it for years. And you can tell, right? They absolutely nailed it.
Oh, so it was amazing, wasn't it? Every part of it, the coverage was absolutely amazing. And I have to say, the atmosphere, it was a really nice atmosphere. People were chatting, you know, people have spoken about other people they met in the queue when they were queuing to walk past the Queen's coffin. Even on the long walk, people were just going up to people and saying hello, and it was a really nice atmosphere. And then as the hearse passed, there was just polite applause. There was just polite applause as the car drove past, and it was going very, it came up from the Shore Gate, which is just on the road to where you turn into the long walk. And it was going very slowly, giving everyone an opportunity. And there was just this ripple of applause that went down the whole of the long walk up into when they went through the gates into the castle. We wanted the boys to experience the occasion, because I can't imagine in our lifetimes we're going to see anything quite like that ever again. And maybe not in their lifetime. So I think whether you're a big fan of the royals or not, and I'm not a royalist, I appreciate, as we said last week, her service and what she did and everything. But it was definitely an occasion, just, and especially as we lived in Windsor, I couldn't have just hidden inside all day. But it was nice to take the boys out. You know, we got the questions about life and death around it, but it was nice to go out there and sort of be. But we left pretty sharpish afterwards. You know, the boys like, can we go now? And one was like, is there football on? So we came back afterwards pretty sharpish, but it was. And the people I've spoken to who were there for 9-12 hours said it was just a really nice atmosphere. And the weather actually, for the first time, behaved itself. So
beautiful. And those rainbows. Over Windsor Castle, wasn't it?
Pictures.
Was that the day before? Incredible. The day before the funeral? Yeah.
Was that the day before? I think so.
Yeah. I can't remember, but yeah, no, it was absolutely incredible. Just to be a part of it, feel a part of it. You know, we were with some neighbours watching it at home,
nice.
And you know, so that the kids could sort of occupy themselves and we could actually pay attention. And it was fascinating. I mean, it raises so many questions and so many topics of conversation, doesn't it? About monarchy, about the situation, because a lot of the time it just sort of happens quite quietly in the background.
Yeah.
That was anything but quiet. And, you know, it doesn't stop there. There's going to have to be a coronation of the king. But I don't know when that's going to happen, but I think that's penciled in for June. They give it a little breather. But that will be, again, something I imagine quite similar in terms of, not similar in terms of the feel. Obviously, it's a completely different occasion. But, you know, you have to go big on a coronation. It's a coronation. So, yeah, will that be Windsor again? Will your life continually be disrupted?
No, I think from what you read and hear, now King Charles, not a fan of Windsor. I think it might be the planes. We get a lot of planes. So yeah. I think that's going to be the future home of the Prince and Princess of Wales as they are now. And I think the coronation, I think, will all be London-based, I think. But
oh, okay.
But I think
we'll
get more visitors to Windsor, because obviously the Queen is laid to rest here. So I think people will come and... I have to say,
the next few years, you'll get a lot more people coming to see. Yeah.
But I was quite happy the next day when I went for my run and it was peaceful again, because in the days leading up to it, I was weaving past people. They put traffic lights in strange places. They blocked bits off. It was all a bit of an obstacle course. It was nice to see it put up, and they're still actually taking it down. Today is Thursday, and on my run today, there were so many barriers, and they were just taking down the commentary boxes today. The police, there's still quite a heavy police presence. Still flowers being laid up by the Cambridge Gate, which people saw as the hearse went into the castle. But there's still a lot of barriers, a lot of portaloos, lot of portaloos on the long court right now. I'm talking double figures. So they still have to be taken away. So, but the run has been easier. There's not so many people. They're off doing whatever else they're doing. And you, I can tell from your wallpaper, are back at home.
I am back at home with my lovely wallpaper. We've stripped all of upstairs and the hallway. And then I still have this, I couldn't even describe it. It's a combination of like textured styrofoam wallpaper. Yeah, it's got lots of feel to it, but then there's also a very shiny quality to it.
I can see it shining.
Which is interesting. I don't know how well that's going to come off the wall, to be honest. It's been on there for a good 50 years, so I'm not sure how it's going to come off. And then we will start with some actual building. So you might get to see some nice walls at some point. But at the moment, you've either got this wonderful wallpaper or just a stripped back wall. So that's,
to be honest,
arguably
change.
Nicer than what was there before.
So. Well, I quite like the chat. I quite like, it looks a bit bobbly and knobbly and it's a bit shiny. I quite like it. It's every pod, you're giving me a different backdrop. You see the same thing. You see my bedroom and the shutters and that's it.
Yep.
You're giving me something different every week. I like that.
Okay, well, I'm glad. I'm glad I'm entertaining you with my background. I'll have to start. If I run out of places to go, I'll have to start just doing all the funny backgrounds on Zoom.
Oh, we should do some of those, shouldn't we?
Oh, God,
I've never
no.
thought about doing. I haven't forgotten. I still need to find some really obscure flags to give you your flag test. I haven't forgotten that. I'm going to find, but I think you're pretty good at your flags because you're quite confident. So I need to think about it. Maybe like a Christmas quiz. Flags.
Yeah, we play a new game now. You know that Wordle
I've never heard of Wordle,
and you must have heard of it. I can understand you're not playing it. But
no,
not,
I didn't know what.
Heard
no, I didn't know what it was.
Well, anyway, Wordle's not the point. So people were playing Wordle.
Is it global? Do our American listeners know what you're talking about when you say Wordle?
Yes, yes. I think it's New York Times. Right. Yeah, I think that's where it is. Yes. So yes, there's Wordle. We play. Me and my husband Worldle, which is a quiz that comes every day. It's sort of a similar type of thing, but basically you just get an outline of a country and you have to name that country and you've got six guesses, see how far you can get, and then each time it tells you how close or far away you are. And it's really great when you put in your initial guess and then it says that you're 12,500 kilometers away. East. Okay. Excellent. So that's quite good fun, but that's what we do. But yeah, no, geography is generally the thing that I'm okay
you're
at. So
living the life in your marriage, aren't you?
Well, thank you for that judgment. I love it. It's so good.
And geography is my weak point. So if we were going somewhere, and if I was like your co-driver, co-pilot, you'd throw me out the car. So bad with directions. So
fine.
You bring the geography. I don't know what I
How
bring.
How would you do with an outline of a country?
Badly. There'd be a few that are obvious that I'd get.
Yeah, but there are like nearly 200 countries. So.
Yes, but I wouldn't.
There
I don't
are
think...
about a few obvious ones.
I would get the few obvious ones. I'd do better with flags.
Okay. All right.
I do better. Anyway. I don't think I'd do well with, although we've got a globe, an actual thing that you spin, which with the boys, their dad is good at this. At nighttime sometimes he gets them to kind of spin it and spot countries and identify countries and talk about like capitals of the countries, which I think is really good.
Great.
So
I'm all about that. You know, so, I love my geography.
So they can spot, they can sort of go, oh, that's whatever that is. And the capital is, you know.
Yeah, so I can see your base knowledge is a little light.
So I do.
You couldn't come up with any country.
At that point, I don't know, getting the school uniform ready for the next day, doing packed lunches that are going to become the bane of my life. So we all have different skill sets, I like to think.
Yeah, that's absolutely. But speaking of flags,
sets,
countries,
yes.
Nations, yes. Geography, yes. The works. Davis Cup has come to an end. That's where I've come back from. And I was texting you. I don't think I sent you the video, but it was so cool hearing the Italian national anthem.
Oh, you told me, Italy. Yeah.
I've heard it quite a number of times, but like it's a great anthem, and people, you know, they properly go for it. You know, there are other anthems that people sort of sing quite quietly, but they properly go for it. I think it's one of the best, and yeah, it always made me really emotional. I was like really pumped up, ready to get on court. I'm not Italian, but yeah. So no, I'm back from Davis Cup, and Italy did in fact qualify from that group with Croatia. So, and I know that this is your favourite from the ATP Tour Finals, but the permutations were driving us a little bit crazy by the end, and we were just like, "Can somebody just tell us what they need to do?" Like, yeah, it was just very, very difficult trying to follow all of the rules and work out ourselves. And it turned out that we should not work out by ourselves. We should be told to get the right, so that we knew what was happening. We were like, wait, what does Sweden need to do to win, to go through here? We don't know. But yeah, anyway, it was Italy and Croatia that went through from our group. And a real disappointment for GB at home in Glasgow was a bit of a shocker, really. Did not go well at all.
It was a strong squad as well. That's a really strong squad.
Yeah, one of the strongest squads we've had in some time. But, you know, well, the trouble is it's such an individual team sport, isn't it? That's the problem. And, you know, Cam Norrie, our best player, and he wasn't playing very well. So, that's sort of the end of it, really. But yes, anyway, Davis Cup, it is finished for now, because the finals will be once again in November in Malaga.
Yeah, is that a quarterfinal stage it starts as? So you've got eight teams left, and that goes into... No, the most complicated permutations I've ever had was curling at the Winter Olympics, and Great Britain, there were 18 different permutations going into the last set of matches. 18. And there were only two.
Feels like they need less rules.
I think there was only something like two where they could qualify or they wouldn't qualify. And it was just, I tried to write down a piece of paper. I think I got the hang of it in the end, but we won't need any permutations this weekend for the Laver Cup, will we? No. It's just who wins, who loses, how many wins, how many loses.
No, well, they're just changing the rules, aren't they?
So. You're not happy about this, are you?
I mean, no.
Come on, then.
Well, I knew what was going to happen. I said last week he's going to play doubles with Rafa. And I didn't want to say he's going to change the rules, but I was thinking he's going to change the rules. And that's fine if it's an exhibition, but it's this weird in-between thing where the ATP treat it as a proper tournament, and it's the results contribute to actual results, and it's like an official thing. There's no ranking points or anything. But it appears much more of an exhibition. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a great exhibition that everybody earns loads of money for, and people pay to go and watch, and everybody has a great time. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think it needs to be a professional, proper ATP event. And if you're just going to change the rules because Federer wants to play a match and he can't play singles, then it's sort of feeling a bit more exhibition-y, isn't it, really? So, I'm not annoyed about it at all. Obviously, we want to see Roger Federer play. So I have no issue with that. My issue is that, like, it's fine. It's just, this is a great exhibition that everybody really enjoys. It's going to be fabulous at the O2 in London. Like, as in... And that's fine. Just leave it as it is. It's no problem.
Since he announced his retirement, I don't know, maybe that announcement was at that stage because he knew he was going to come and change the rules and could only play doubles. I mean, who knows? But it was always, once that announcement was made, it's just about Roger Federer retiring. I mean, I don't think anyone cares who wins. It's about seeing Roger Federer. It's been confirmed that they will play Friday night, Nadal and Federer against Sock and Tiafoe in the doubles. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? I don't think anyone will remember anything else. I might be wrong because it hasn't even started yet. And it's not being overshadowed because it's not something to overshadow. This is something to celebrate. It's Federer. It's his career. If he couldn't go out at Wimbledon, he's still going out in London. It's such a special place for him. But once that announcement was made, I mean, as it were, all bets were off. I mean, anything could happen. he could effectively do whatever he wanted, right? Because this is the last time he's ever going to play professional tennis.
Yeah, but, you know, doubles with Rafa sort of makes the most sense. I imagine you'll have, like, Djokovic and Murray on the sidelines as well. It'll be this amazing moment, I'm sure. I can't wait to watch it. I think it's going to be great. And against Sock and Tiafoe, they'll bring a lot of fun to it as well. So, yeah, it's going to be great. It's just that... It's just that it's not a proper thing. It's not an ATP tournament.
No, we agree on this. It is an exhibition. As much as I say it's not an exhibition, it is an exhibition. And like you, I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's fine. But we have this in all different sports everywhere. They just play for sort of individual cups. You know, you have test matches in rugby and cricket. It doesn't make them not important. They're still, after some time, I think will become a hugely important part of the tennis landscape, but it's not part of the ATP tour. That's not what it is. They didn't come up with it. They didn't create it. They just sort of made it official. And yeah, that's where it's just a little bit jarring. It's like, yeah, do you know what? Do what you want. Make it the Roger Federer show. We all love that. We're all on board with it. I don't think anybody really is too bothered. But yeah, amazing for the rest of the players, I think, to be involved in it. Interestingly, Carlos Alcaraz turned it down. Didn't want to do it. I think because just scheduling. He's probably tired, poor thing.
Yeah, he is. I know he's young, but he's still going to get tired. I think for the Laver Cup, it's going to be interesting what happens. Moving, they want it to be the Ryder Cup of tennis, don't they? Europe against the world, whatever. But I think we need to see its future once almost the big guys go. So Roger Federer is playing his last one. Will we see Nadal and Djokovic again in it? Murray, probably not. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it develops and who wants to take part as it progresses. It's felt exhibition-y in its first few years, the way it came about with the players it has in it. I wonder if it will eventually settle into something and maybe evolve into something else.
Yeah, look, also the attitude of the rest of the tennis world. I mean, remember when the French Open just decided to move its date because of COVID? They were like, oh, nothing's happening that week. We can go there. It's Laver Cup. So, you know, but I also understand that it takes years, it takes time to establish these events. You know, the reason that Grand Slams are so big and so powerful is because they're so old. You know, you need to establish these events, they need to be successful. And yes, a lot of it hinges on, well, a lot of it's going to hinge on Djokovic playing and Nadal playing over the next few years without Federer there. And then you've got to look at your next generation, Sinner and Alcaraz. And unfortunately, in terms of the rivalry between Europe and the rest of the world, all of those players are from Europe. So there's no one on the other side, which, you know, makes it a little bit more difficult. And of course, look, there have been years when the Ryder Cup has been incredibly one-sided. There has been years when the Ashes, decades, where the Ashes in cricket has been incredibly one-sided. There's nothing wrong with that, but it is unfortunate when it's the beginning of an event. It's only been going a few times. At the beginning, you sort of want the rivalry, the competitiveness, because there's no way Europe are going to lose this, or I can't see Europe losing in the next 5 years. If they get a strong team out, if they get their normal team out, then it's just completely lopsided. So what happens with it, I don't know. Maybe that will impact it. Maybe the loss of Federer will impact it, although he'll still be there. He'll always turn up.
Oh, look, he's part of it. It's in his interest to make it a success. I mean, maybe he becomes team captain moving forward. I don't know. He wants to stay in tennis. He wants to be around tennis, which is also a great thing. But I saw the selfies from both teams. And I know this one, it isn't about who wins. It's about Federer and it's his swan song and it's his final match. But I looked at them and went, oh, God. Team World haven't got a chance, full of wonderfully talented high-ranked players. But I was like, that's really, really lopsided.
Yeah, so but they I think don't, do they? You know, like they don't
really
have a chance.
Lopsided.
And that's even with Tiafoe now playing brilliantly, brilliantly well. If you think it wasn't that long ago where he wasn't at that sort of level. So I think that's just a bit, it's just unfortunate with the timing, because it is with these things, it is about timing, it is about personalities, you know. Ultimately, the sport being interesting and people selling it. Of course, we've been so lucky with Federer, but in terms of the future of the Laver Cup, it depends, as you say, on the players. People come to watch the players. It doesn't have the advantage of something like Wimbledon, where you can go for the event. And if you get a bit of a rubbish day on your court, just because sometimes it works out lopsided on the days there, you're at Wimbledon, you're at this event, you've got the outside courts, you've got the strawberries and cream. You know, there's just so much that goes with it that it's not all about the tennis. It's the same, like, you know, you're just in New York. It's about the show. It's about the atmosphere. It's about the noise, the being on the court, the smell of the hot dogs. You know, whereas Laver Cup doesn't have any of those things. So it's only about the tennis. And if the tennis isn't that competitive, although they have made it so that I believe it can't be done before the last day. It will still be live on the last day. But yeah, it's a fairly inevitable outcome. But it seems like the tickets are selling for a lot of money. Well done, Rog.
Well, I mean, if anything's going to send tickets... What was it? Someone was saying the cheapest one for Friday was £1,000. I think that was the cheapest. But this will be, you know, these will be the people who say, I saw Roger Federer in his final... The people who can say, I was there for Serena Williams' final match, if that is her final match, which we believe it is. You know, they will say, this is Roger Federer. We saw his final match. And it just goes to show how not right the knee is that he's not even going to try singles. I think, and what's come out in all these interviews is, and he's had quite a while to sort of, I guess, grieve for the end of his career, you know, but he's known, he talked about when he went on that tour with Zverev, it didn't feel right. He said it against Hurkacz, you know, that final match at Wimbledon, that, you know, the pain and discomfort he was in. So he's had a long time to sort of grieve for what was eventually going to come out, and we're now just learning about, as much as we may have thought that or realized the career was coming to an end. But he does seem at peace with it, doesn't he? He's going to stay involved, but he's at peace with the fact that he can no longer do what he used to do.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we have had some listeners that said they like the idea of kind of individual pods on players. We talked about a Federer one, a Serena Williams one, maybe an Anjabeur one. So we will maybe, I don't know, around Christmas time or something, but we'll do, which is actually fast approaching. But we will look into those. And I wanted to mention while we're talking about Federer, we have, do you remember our listener, Ethan? Now, Ethan, you will remember when we sent Ethan and his wife, Carol, a couple of tennis mugs, and they've still got one going, which I think one's broken.
But that's, oh, no.
I've still got one.
Have you still got yours?
I remember... I've still got mine.
Okay,
it's a bit
piece.
Chipped, but I've still got mine.
Okay.
And the final one I had to deliver, I finally took to Australia this year. It was only like 4 years late, but that's fine. They got it and they were delighted. I remember Ethan got in touch when they were at Everest Base Camp. And
yes,
they said they were
I
listening
remember.
To the pod, and they had...
They sent
we
us
like,
a photo.
Sent us for, it's absolutely amazing. Now, Ethan got in touch, and this links to Roger Federer and any help we can give, and I will tweet this to our account, but... They run the Cameron Grant Memorial Trust in memory of their son, Cameron, who sadly lost his life to suicide 8 years ago. He was 21 years of age. So that picture they sent us from the Everest base camp, that was a trek in Cameron's memory. Now, they've set up a charity. People on Twitter can go to @CamMemorial. And they've got this amazing set of Roger Federer memorabilia that they're auctioning, and all the proceeds. Basically, they want to raise as much mental health awareness to try and reduce suicide, especially in young people, as possible. So all money towards this. And there's this huge frame with a Federer racket, balls, pictures, the certificate of authenticity.
All on one frame?
Yeah, all in one frame.
Oh, nice.
Signed by Roger Federer. It's on eBay. I'll send out a link on our social media, on our Twitter. But it's, he got in touch and I was like, well, hopefully this is the perfect time, you know, with Roger Federer stepping away and retiring, and if they can raise as much money as possible for what I think you'd 100% agree is a thoroughly good cause.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm gonna check it out. It's nice to hear those sorts of links, but I think particularly between tennis and, you know, raising awareness of mental health and those things just are not talked about enough. It's amazing how many people are touched by a similar story, and you only ever really hear about it or talk about it when, you know, something happens or somebody that you know is involved in something like that. So thank you for involving us, I think.
Yeah.
And from the I'm going to get the picture from Everest with the tennis mug back up, and I'm going to check out their site. Where is their site? Where can I go?
So on Twitter, you can go at Cam, so C-A-M, then Memorial, as in M-E-M-O-R-I-A-L. It's got all the information. It's got the bits of the Federer memorabilia where you can put your bid, information about the charity they've set up. But I'll also tweet that from our account so people can. And we wish you well in raising as much money as possible. And you talk about the importance of mental health. And I was thinking about this the other day, actually, with when players have injuries, and I know that players have spoken, haven't they, that you can get to very difficult places when you're sidelined, and the career that you've always had, will you get it back? Will it? I know Dominic Thiem has spoken, Andy Lapthorne has spoken about some really tricky places and things they've had to deal with. And I was thinking this week about Daria Saville has done her ACL, but she's done it again. She did it in 2013. Yeah. And this year was her comeback from, she's had Achilles problems. And what are we looking at? About nine plus months. And I wonder, what was the longest you were ever sidelined for? And did you find it difficult?
I was very fortunate to not be particularly injured. So I was, I think the longest was probably only a couple of months. So nothing at all, really. And yeah, it's just so rough, the ACL thing, because once you've done it once, you're at a much higher risk of doing it again. Not necessarily the same one. It's just you're susceptible to doing it. I know many players. I could probably list more than five players that have done both ACLs. I actually don't know whether it was the same one or a different knee for her.
I think it's the same one.
Yeah, but I know a lot of people that have done both, and there's this big thing now. Actually, there's a lot of research going into it because women are much more susceptible to it, and doing it there's certain times of the month, some certain periods in the cycle where you're a lot more susceptible to specifically tearing your ACL. And I've spoken to players who have done both, and they've said it was at the exact same time in my cycle each month. And there's quite a lot of research going into it. I don't know what you can do about it, but they have proven that there's a very, very strong link in that. And that some people just seem to be more susceptible, just like some people are more injury prone with lots of things than they are with others. But ACL it's a nightmare. And when she was tweeting saying like, yeah, please, everyone just hope it's not an ACL. You can feel that, because that is a horrendous injury. It is, it's awful. You're out for a very long time. And as I say, you know, in the back of your mind, you know, moving forward, that the chances of it happening again are there. You know, if you continue to play this sport. It's a killer for her, isn't it? Horrible.
Well, the upside is she knows what she's got to do to get back. But on the flip side, the downside is she knows the length of journey and what she's got to go through to get back.
Yes. The good news is she knows what she's got to do to get back. The bad news is she knows what she's got to do to get back.
Pretty
and
much,
rehab,
right?
Rehab is just so boring, like, especially significant rehab for months and months on end. I've never had to do it, as I was saying, but oh my God, it is so tedious. Sometimes you just see no progress. You think, am I ever going to get back on court? You might try and get back on court. It sets you back. It is incredibly, incredibly frustrating. And yes, we have a lot of injuries in tennis, which are like repetitive strain injuries. And that a lot of that comes from sort of mismanagement, overscheduling, overtraining, not looking after your body, ignoring tightness, ignoring pain, playing through pain, all those sorts of things. So a lot of it's your decisions. And, you know, those injuries tends to be sort of tendonitis. So I got tendonitis in my wrist, which I think put me out for about 2 to 3 months. You know, there are lots of those that happen. But the big stuff, the serious stuff, the long-term stuff, it tends to be stuff you can't do anything about. You know, something like, you know, Del Potro, I mean, he looked like he just sort of just twisted his knee and he cracked his kneecap. And, you know, so many things like that where it's just completely unfortunate. But I'm sure she is feeling awful, awful. Just like, just as she was getting back to business, really, to be honest, to get her ranking back, she still wasn't quite back to where she was before, but she was sort of playing like it.
Doing
and she
well.
Was
great.
Having
year.
Fun, yeah. Flying up the rankings. You know, that's the good bit about coming back from an injury, is that you can, you lose all of the pressure and you can just have fun. And each win, you're again like making jumps. You can see the progress. It's tangible. Yeah, awful timing. Gutted for her. I mean, she seems like such a nice person. Just absolutely gutted for her.
And you've got to have the faith, I guess, as you were saying, that when you come back, that to go for it 100%, not to have it in the back. I know footballers who've done their hamstrings and they're worried about running as fast as they did in case it goes again. So I remember Kane Ishikori with his wrist, he was worried about it, even though he was told by a specialist, you're not going to do any damage to it. So it's having faith in what you injured to go for it once it's healed. And you've been told it's fine. That fear and that everything you've been through to actually have that faith in your body once again must be really difficult. I mean, we're seeing this with Dominic Thiem at the moment and his wrist, it can be a long way back.
Yeah, I mean, his is incredibly challenging because he's had to change his technique to try and cope with it so that he can actually play tennis, which is a big deal. It's a really big deal and something that, you know, it's going to take years ultimately. It's already taken him, you know, best part of a year, you know, trying to be back on tour. But yeah, I think the confidence thing is a real problem for particular injuries, especially with tennis. You only run as fast as you can stop, so anything that's taking any impact, knees, ankles, particularly your back on your serve, your wrist, because it has to be so loose through the contact, there's lots of areas that if that's your issue, it can be really, really tough to get the confidence back. And you sort of have a period of time that the physio says, okay, this is how long it's going to be until you're rehabbed and you're back to full strength. And then there's another block of time, which is how long it's going to be until you can fully believe in what you're doing. And that is not easy. So we see lots of players that will continue wearing strapping just to give them that extra little bit of safety. So they'll continue on with the wrist straps, the ankle straps, just to have something there, because it just helps with that confidence, with the mentality. And sure, probably there is a little bit of help when it comes to actually supporting the ankles and stuff, but ultimately it's not necessary. So yeah, it's not easy.
So we wish her, well, we'd like to say a speedy recovery. It takes as long as it takes, but we wish her a full recovery. How's life in the movies? I haven't heard about the movies for a while.
The TV series is good. Yeah, it's good. We're coming to the end.
When can I watch it?
Next year.
Watch it.
Next
watch
year.
It?
2023 okay. Sometime. I don't know when. Right. I don't know when. Okay. I do know where, though. It will be on Amazon Prime. Yes, most of the Tennessee bits have been done. All the big stuff has been done. The big choreography, yep. The big points, the crowds, the show courts, the works. That's all been done. So
wow,
that's very
okay.
Exciting. So we've just got a few little bits to pick up. I probably have only got another day or two on set. I've got one on Monday. And then I might have something after that. Maybe some pickups, just if something doesn't look as it should, then we might need to do it again. But ultimately, yeah, we're nearly there. They finished filming at the end of October, so there's still quite a lot of the drama stuff to do, which I'm less involved in. and then it will be into post-production and it will be out at some point next year. So, I can't wait. It's very exciting.
Will there be like a premiere? Can we go to a premiere?
I don't think so. It's a TV series. I don't think there'll be a premiere. So
come on.
No, I think the premiere will be, oh, it's arrived on Amazon, everybody can watch it. So we could do a little viewing party together if you want. That's fine.
Oh, 100%.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
That's amazing.
No,
it's not a movie, it's a TV series. It's still a movie.
It's very different. It's very different.
Honestly, once you sent me that message that day saying, can we record later? I'm wanted on set. Once those words were put down on a message to me, it will forever be a movie. That's the most glamorous thing you have ever sent to me in a message. I can't do the pod now. I'm wanted on set.
Well, I am the glue that holds it all together. So,
I mean, it's absolutely amazing. This weekend, we know we're going to be watching Laver Cup to see Roger Federer's last match.
Yes.
I I need to leave you now because I've got to take the boys to tennis because now from not wanting to do it, they are obsessed with playing tennis. So I've been instructed what kit to bring them to change into. I mustn't be late. The snacks they need to make sure they can play their best tennis. I mean, we're fully back into tennis.
Well, standard tennis player. Okay, so getting some of those gels that Nadal has.
So they wanted chocolate. Is that wrong?
I mean, sometimes people eat chocolate, but yes.
If I turn up with an energy gel and a banana at the school gates,
half an hour in, you've got to be like knocking on the window, being like, "Have your gel? Have your gel?"
I mean, they'll look at me. If I hand them a banana when they come out of class, they'll be like, "What's that?"
Walk and
I'll be
court, like, "I was told." Shaking the bottle with like isotonics in there, being like, "Here's your electrolytes."
Oh, they'll be like, "Oh, she's one of those mums, is she?" Sending them out with the blue drink and the gels. Does she think she's got a Federer on her hands? Probably not. So I've got to go and get the kit bag sorted to make sure I take the right things. But I look forward to looking back on Federer's last ever match next week. And as we know with tennis, it doesn't stop. There'll be something else that's going on. There always is.
There always is. Can't wait.
Bye.